Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All righty, hour number two. What's happening? Tinky and Tierney. This is the Tinky and Tierney Show. NBA is back. Titans bang out the Bills. Last play of the game. Awesome stuff. We'll do a little football later on as well. LeBron says, manage this. Forget about load management. I'm playing as much as I want there, Vogel. And, of course, we're coming from our, he didn't really say that, but that's what we extrapolate out of what he did say. The Rocket Mortgage Studio. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family. Rocket can. The Circus down in Philly. Ben Simmons. Sixers. Wow. Just a wreck. And to help us get into that, the start of the season, the world champion Bucks will raise the banner tonight against the Kyrie-less Nets. You got the Lakers and the Warriors. Clay still out. This guy was incredible. Hall of Famer. So forever entrenched as a legend. 9 All-NBA teams, 9 All-Defensive teams, and all-time trash-talking team as well. That will be the glove, Gary Payton, to help us break in the season. Gary, Tinky and Tierney, what's happening, buddy? How you been?
Man, I'm good. How you guys been?
Awesome. I love it. Now, Gary Payton, this is an old-school guy. Listen, I'm going to guess here, Gary. I'm going to guess that you are, I haven't seen a tweet, I haven't heard anything attributed to you. I don't know exactly what you think about the Sixers situation, but being the old school, you know, guy that you are, I can't imagine that, you know, you're Ben Simmons on this, are you? I mean, where do you stand on everything going down in Philly?
Well, you know, I think this is kind of crazy, Brandon, because the simple fact is that he let it get this far. When you let it get this far and you get into a situation like this, I think Philly should have made a move from the beginning if he didn't want to be there. But I really think the player should be accountable, too. You're a professional. If you're going to go in there, just be a professional about it. Play as hard as you can. Let other teams see that what you're going to do and your value and get traded. Mm-hmm. You know, and then just make it understood. I think this is a different era. They do it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with me, when I was about to get traded, I didn't make a big vibe about it. I just said, get me to the best situation. Let's move on. Let's not make no noise. Let's do other stuff. And I think that's just the way it is in this era right now. I think it's a mess right now. I don't know how they're going to get out of it because all it does is bring other players involved. Other players start saying everything, and then all of a sudden it gets to a point where now we got feelings about things. And it's no way in history that he can go back to that Philly team because now you've lost all your teammates and you've lost the loyalty of the fans because if he goes in front of the fans, they're going to boo him. And I don't think he should be in that situation. I think they should try to make a move and do what they can and get whatever they can get out of him.
I'm totally with you, but that's on Daryl Morey and the organization, you know, lowering the asking price. You hear they want, you know, 3 first-round picks, get a grip. The guy can't even shoot a foul shot. He's damaged goods right now. You're not getting 100 cents on the dollar. You're going to have to take it on the chin a little bit to get rid of him. But and everything you said makes complete sense, Gary. But if you were on that team, and I know it is a different generation, a different era, but I heard Joel Embiid speak. I heard Tobias Harris speak. Like, what would you say to the media? And what would you say directly to Ben when there's no cameras around? How would you handle that?
First of all, I would have called a meeting. I'd have called a meeting with all the team and all the players and seen how everybody feels. Then I would have asked Ben, how do you feel? You know, why do you want to be here? We're your teammates. How can we help you? How can we get you through this? And what's going on so that we can make an understanding that we don't want to have a circus around here. Let us deal with it and we can say the same thing you're saying. And we know what you really want. And then, you know, you're going to have to be loyal to us if we're going to be loyal to you. If you're going to be here, please play hard and just play out, and we'll try to work it out. If it doesn't work out, then you can move on. That's what I would have said from day one, and then I would have told the media, this is an in-house thing. Let us deal with it.
Yeah.
Let us work with it. Let us deal with this situation. And no talking. Because once you start talking, all it's going to do is make a lot of things come out, and then you're going to get a circus. You know, it depletes from the game they're about to have.
Yeah.
They're not even talking about the game no more. They're talking about Ben Simmons getting kicked out of practice and getting suspended. And that's crazy. You should be worried about starting the season.
Yeah. Does this drop the 76ers down a peg? You know, we're talking, Joel Embiid is now 6 years in? Six years in or so? I mean, and we keep waiting for the championship viability to actually show itself, and Ben Simmons' evolution or escalation as a player was supposed to take them there. Like, where does this leave the Sixers on court now if Ben Simmons is kind of a bit player here?
Well, you know what? That is a great question, because I don't know how the players are going to react now.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a great coach in Doc Rivers, who Doc will try to manage it and do the things that he can. But on the court, this takes a lot out of players, because they are now focused around this. They were expecting a lot from this basketball team, to win a championship, to go far in the playoffs and do things. But this started to come. So I think now what they got to do is say, should we move on? Yes, they should move on.
Yep.
They should get what they can get a player, get some players or get some picks, get something in there that could complement Embiid and these guys, and move on and try to win it and do what you got to do. And Philly has to understand that. If they don't understand that now, I don't know what's the problem. You know, he doesn't want to be there. Let it go. It's over.
Yeah.
Go ahead and get the best players that you can get, and make your team the best team that can possibly be right now.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. That's got to be the path. I'm with you. Gary Payton, Hall of Famer, talking shop. We'll get to some other stuff, but the Sixers stuff is amazing. Gary, of course, with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, Gary, are you excited about this Lakers squad that they've put together? I mean, it's old. I mean, they call you. Hey, GP, you got some run left? I mean, it's old, but, I mean, name-wise and brand-wise, it's kind of compelling. It's going to be must-watch for sure, but are you excited about what they could do, or are you nervous about what's going to happen?
But, you know, it's a 50-50 thing. I'm nervous because they're all older. They're not in their prime time of what they used to be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But they're veterans, and they know how to win. You know what I'm saying? Now, if they don't get hurt, they're going to compete. They're going to compete a lot, especially when you can compete with LeBron and AD. And if you get Westbrook to be that guy who he's supposed to be, they're going to be fine. You know, and then they got the guy coming off the bench. Carmelo doing what he does. They done went and got the kid Nunn from Miami, the youngster. They got pieces. They're okay. Even adding Jordan, they got pieces. And I just think if they stay healthy and they stay right, they'll be fine. As you see, LeBron, he said he cannot load manage because it's a whole new brand new team, and he has to be on the floor for them to be special. And when he's not on the floor, they're not special. So I think that I'm excited because I want to see the older guys come and complete the mission that they are trying to do. As you remember, 2006, when I went and we had an old team in Miami, we completed the mission, you know, because we had a lot of veterans. And I think this Laker team can do the same. I just want them to stay healthy, you know, and be the team that they can be. I don't care about how many years they got on them already. They will be fine if they stay healthy.
Hey, Garrett, nobody's going to look at the Mavericks as a championship team because they don't have a running mate for Luka yet. When you look at that, they have a new coach in Jason Kidd. When you look at Luka, I mean, is there a perfect fit? Like, optimally, who should the target be that they need to get a superstar next to him if they want to win a championship? Who is that player?
Well, that's hard, you know, because everybody nowadays are targeting to play with their friends, play with people like that. I don't know who that guy can be. Luka is a special basketball player. Who's out there right now that we think that's going to become a free agent and be that superstar? Now, if we put him with KD, huh? Okay, We got something going. We put him with LeBron. We got something going. I don't know. Can he go with Damian Lillard? Would that be a good fit? You know, so, you know, we don't know who that could be, what that star could be. But he's a star, and he's going to be take over. I think he's going to take over after KD and LeBron, being that star of the NBA. But right now, they're working it out. They're going to have to get a piece. And I don't know if they can get a real legit superstar to add with him for them to be that contender.
Yeah, no, I feel you. Nap Jitsu, tell us about this patent-pending energy and performance product. What is Nap Jitsu, Gary?
Well, you know, you go after the nap. It makes you take naps. And then when you get to, when you get up, it gives you energy. You know, you go get it. You know what I'm saying? When I first saw this product, I was like, man, I don't know. I don't like to take energy drinks and all that stuff. But I'm a nap type of guy.
Yeah.
That's how I made it in my career, with naps. So as I took it, it had me relaxing and doing my naps real great.
Yeah.
Great-like. And when I got up, it was a lot of energy. And you know, guys, I just took a head job with a startup school at Lincoln University.
Yep.
And with these kids, I got to have most energy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this stuff has really got me to a point where I'm energized at 53 years old. And I'm working out and I'm doing the things that I need to do. So it's giving me that boost and not, you know, having my heartbeat racing and everything. And I'm taking naps at the same time.
That's awesome.
So I'm really good with this product because it works for you that way. You have to take a nap, and when you take that nap, you can get that little two-hour nap, and then all of a sudden you get up, you energize. And that's what I like about this product.
And by the way, were you taking those naps in the NBA because you were out the club the night before, or you just needed just part of the routine?
Absolutely. You know I was a club guy.
GP,
you know
the club.
Saying? I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I was in the club.
Oh, I already knew. I knew the answer.
I had to take naps.
I got you. Hey, can the Nets, you know, listen, maybe Kyrie comes back at some point if the mandate changes, but let's say he doesn't play at all this year. Can they really win the championship without him?
I don't think so. As you've seen, Brandon, last year, they were rolling in the playoffs until everybody started getting hurt. And with these guys now, you know, especially with Harden and then KD, we don't know what will happen. But they have a good group on the floor. I think KD is a guy that can win a championship by himself with Harden if they stay on the floor. They are a legit threat, a legit one. But without him, it's going to be kind of hard. You know what I'm saying? That special three, when you get down to the conference finals and then coming into the NBA finals and these guys are rolling, the other team is rolling, and they probably got two and three guys. Now, if they got to play the Lakers, how are you going to match with them with all them players? And I think he is a big part. He gives you scoring. He gives you that leadership on the floor to do what he can do. And I think it'll be really, really hard for Brooklyn to win a championship without him.
GP, good rapping, bro. Go do your thing. Really nice catching up. Gary Payton, Hall of Famer, the glove, always with salient thoughts on the game in his very unique way, man. Thanks a lot, Gary.
Thank you, Brandon. You take it easy, man. Anytime you need me, let me know.
We got you, brother. Thank you very much. GP in the house. Gary Payton, beast.
Yeah.
Beast.
Yeah. He was a beast.
All-time trash talker.
I forgot he took that.
Defender.
I forgot he took the job. With the high school squad.
I
kind of remember, but then I didn't. When he said it, I was like, "Oh yeah, of course he did." But that's a grind, bro.
Yeah. Well, he's been coaching the big three.
Yeah,
so
I know.
He's been on the
he's
coaching
on the,
grind
on
for
the big three. That's different, but
yeah,
I mean, you're going to coach the high school kids, bro.
Yeah, I know.
That's work.
I love it though.
That's work.
See, that's something I would do. Like if I had that kind of money in the bank, and I was a guy like Gary, and I don't know exactly what Gary made. You could check it out. It's public record on Basketball Reference, but I'm saying Gary banked at least 50 mil, probably 60, maybe more.
Yeah.
You know what? You go and you coach, man. You stay in the game.
You're right.
That's awesome.
Right. And you never know. You're going to develop maybe somebody great,
mm-hmm.
right? So good for him.
Yeah, he's one of the real ones, man.
Yeah,
he is.
Is
good. All right, coming up, Draymond Green. He's also a real one. He would have fit in with Gary's generation for sure. He dropped something maybe a little too real for the NBA. You know the NBA flinched and cringed when they heard this. We'll tell you what it was and what, if anything, they should do about it next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Sunday, it's another NFL on CBS doubleheader. Let's play two. Some fantastic early matchups, the Chiefs and the Titans. Tennessee, money line last night. We'll talk about that game coming up next segment. Bengals and the Ravens. Later after that, it's an NFC clash between Justin Fields and the Bears, who take on Tom Brady and the Bucks. Tampa 13.5-point favorites, big ones as you would imagine. It all begins with the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Sunday, the NFL is on CBS. All right, Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. No TV today, no TV tomorrow, no TV Thursday. So if you usually part of the routine, you DVR your boys and you get home and you watch us and then you pick us up live, whatever. However you incorporate the simulcast into your day, just know that it will not be there the next couple of days. So Odyssey app, radio.com, obviously Twitter, youtube.com/Tiki and Tierney, Instagram. A lot of ways to keep up with the show with lots going on. Gary Payton was great. Let's do this now. Draymond Green.
Keeping it real.
Always does.
When keeping it real goes wrong.
Well, does it go wrong, though? I mean, he's still getting paid. He's still playing. I mean, maybe ruffles a few feathers. Maybe a few eyebrows went an inch or two north.
Yes, definitely.
In the league office. But we don't have the audio. This was part of, I don't know if it was an article. I mean, we don't have the audio, I should say.
Yeah,
it was the ringer. Okay. Yeah. So there's no audio. So let me read this, and then I'll give Teak first crack at this. Now, I would think most fans won't like hearing this, but here we go. From former Defensive Player of the Year Award winner Draymond Green. Quote, "I wasn't interested in the game. It was just a totally different situation that I was dealing with for the first time in my life on top of the abruptness of it. You couldn't have told me 3 months before that I would go for the best team ever to the bleeping worst team in the NBA. It was frustrating, and it was a mind bleep." You're walking in these arenas, and 4 years you've been like, we're going to win. Wow, now we're walking in, and there's actually no chance we win this game, Green went on. Quote, "Not only do we know you're going to get your ass kicked, but the other team knows they're going to kick your ass, and they're not even taking you seriously," end quote.
Yeah.
Candid admission. Go ahead, Teak. First crack.
Look, I mean, he's being real. And I said that for a reason. He's keeping it real. He's telling the truth exactly how he experienced it. And you can imagine that after, I mean, how many years was that? Like 6 years? They were just dominant. And, you know, if you were an inferior team, you didn't stand a chance against their ball movement and their shooting. And then all of a sudden, Clay's hurt, and then KD's gone, and Steph is he's compromised physically, and it's like he's the best player on the team all of a sudden. Draymond is. It just wasn't fun for him, and the fact that he understood that he couldn't win, maybe he's spoiled, but it's just the reality. I don't mind this. I know the league probably doesn't want to hear it, but it also speaks to his desire, or at least need, to have excellence around him. Otherwise, you're not getting much out of Draymond.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that may be on him, because if he doesn't have a chance for greatness, it's almost like he doesn't care. Well, you can't always be on the best team. You know what I mean? It's not always going to be hunky-dory and easy pickings because of talent around you. Sometimes you got to grind through those things.
Yeah.
He just didn't want to grind. But I can understand why, because he knew he had no chance with Steph and Clay out.
Yeah, I mean, I listen, human nature allows me to understand it. He's played, you know, he's played nearly.
He's earned it, though, right?
Well, I'm going to give you a little bit of a different way to look at it without entirely disagreeing with you, because I'm largely with you.
Yeah.
Though I think most fans don't want to hear that because it kind of undercuts, well, the fans are still paying for tickets, and here we go. You know, we got a guy who's a multi-time champion and probably a future Hall of Famer based on the team's success and his defensive prowess, et cetera, and his role on some of the greatest teams ever. He's going to get in, even if he's not a great, great player individually. I don't know if they want to read that from Draymond. That's probably better left on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
But he played, what, 650 regular season games. He's played almost 130 playoff games. This guy's played a lot of basketball. He plays hard. The only thing that I would say about this, I would almost be, is going to sound odd, almost like a contradiction. I would be more okay with, say, Steph Curry saying that, and even Durant or any other. I'll tell you why. Because part of Draymond Green's greatness is his grit.
Yeah, his grind.
His grind is, think about it, second round pick, Michigan State, you know, not top 10, not lottery. Didn't get the big contract right away. Had to scrap for it. Like, he had to fight for everything he's earned in the league.
Yeah.
And junkyard dog, you know, that kind of a guy. And doing the dirty work, setting the picks, fighting through screens, taking elbows, giving elbows, you know, cleaning up the loose change, running the floor, playing basically four or five positions whenever the situation calls for it. And here he is telling us, you know, candidly, I cashed out.
Yeah.
I would almost be, again, more okay with it if it was a guy who, you know, carries such a burden of the offense that he just wanted to exhale.
Yeah. So it's
Draymond's whole DNA is being a fighter.
Yeah.
And
so
he gave up.
So it's almost disappointing.
Yes. Because it's a contradiction to who he is.
Yeah. It's anti who we've grown to know about him.
Yes.
Because even on those. Look, on those great teams of the Golden State Warriors, like, he had to do that in order to be like a big part of it, right? He just wasn't naturally like a great scorer or uber talented or any of those things that we want to talk about, but he would grind his way into being maybe one of the most important, if not the most important pieces on that team. And so, you know, when he doesn't want to do that when the team is bad, it's kind of a sour grapes-ish type of thing. I don't know. It just feels odd, but I think it is the reality of a lot of players in the NBA, and not just because of, you know, being on good teams and all of a sudden they're on a bad team. I get this a lot when I watch the game, BT. I'm like, do these guys even care?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Most of them don't, to be honest with you.
It's middle of the season. You know, the team is 15 games below 500. It's like, all right, whatever. I got to show up because, you know, I love ball, but we stink.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't really care. I feel like I get that a lot. You know what I mean?
Me so too.
It is.
The NBA allows for it,
yes,
actually, the way
right.
It's set up.
That's exactly right. And so it's disappointing. I think, I guess the best way to put it is disappointing for me to hear Draymond say that. But I get it because I think there's a lot of guys like this.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a you know what, so he'll say it.
Yeah, he's not afraid to verbalize it.
Yeah.
By the way, we're not surprised. I mean, this is not a shock. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't tell you how many NBA games I've been to, you know, especially back in the day doing local where, I mean, Knicks guys, I would, and then I'd have to get on the air and talk about it locally the next day and I'd bury him, I'd eviscerate him. They'd be on the bench cracking jokes.
Yeah.
I mean, one guy, Ronaldo Balkman, I remember seeing him sitting. I'll never forget this dude. I mean, they must have been, this is one of the years where they won like 25 of many years, 25, 28 wins.
Yeah,
already this lottery team.
Yeah.
And he's sitting not on the bench. This is during pregame warmups, like a layup line. He's sitting where the spectators would sit while his teammates are shooting around. And he's just rapping with some girl.
Oh, come on.
This is the NBA.
Is it his girl or is it just like some random?
I don't think it was his girl.
Oh, come on. It was a bad look.
That is a horrible look. No repercussions.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, I mean, to think that they're going to play 40 laborious minutes and leave their heart and soul on the floor, I know that I want that. And I know what I teach my son.
Yeah.
I know what I teach my daughter. I know what you instill in your kids.
Yep.
I get it. But when you start making $30, $40 million a year and you play 82 games a year, there's going to be some games that just aren't taken seriously.
Yeah.
And that ain't changing.
No, you're right. And I guess it's okay. But the question is, does the league do anything about this?
What are they going to do? They can't punish him. They might say, hey, Draymond, don't say this. What are they going to do? Punish him?
I agree.
No,
I don't think they will. I think this is kind of like a non-story in a sense because I think we all know that this goes on. I think the commissioner knows this goes on.
No doubt.
He just would rather you not say it. But I think because Draymond Green is a champion and he's known for this, known for being a grinder, that is, that this, this it, It's just gonna stop here. It's not gonna go anywhere.
Let me challenge you again, though, Zeke.
If this was someone else, if this was, I'm trying to think of a lower level player who a team on a bad player.
Like an Andrew Wiggins who's good but maybe not great not quite what we thought he might be, or Jabari Parker who just got cut the other day, like a former top pick.
That's
like
right.
That kind
so
of guy.
If it's Jabari Parker saying something like this,
then
I think it's a bad look for the NBA. But when it's a guy who just was doing it because the team stinks that year, I kind of understand it.
I mean, again, I understand it, but I don't like it. I fully understand it. Like, I would almost think about this. I think I'd rather a role player I don't care about say that, or like a failed bust, you know, stiff, than, you know, one of the great champions of this generation. Like, imagine, he's not Magic or Bird, but imagine, I'm trying to think of the stars or the ancillary stars of the championship. And I think the best team that he would fit on would be the Pistons, like the Bad Boys. He would fit right in. Imagine, or even the Heat team with Riley and Alonzo Mourning that won the championship. Imagine if Lane Beer was more important to the Pistons than Draymond was to them. But imagine if John Sally said this, or even though Vinnie Johnson was a scorer, Vinnie Johnson said this, or imagine if like.
But the one caveat is the teams were good, and then all of a sudden they were bad.
James Edwards said this. I'm just reaching for a name.
I
don't know. Like, do you want your champions basically saying?
You only care when you're a champion.
Yeah. The hell are we saying here?
Yeah, no.
Again, I'm not getting overly worked up. There's no fine or punishment.
No.
It's not a good look.
No, you're right. You're right. You don't want that. Absolutely not.
You know?
You don't want that.
You don't want that.
No.
I mean, imagine if you and I got on the air one day, or somebody interviewed us, as many people do. We do podcasts. Yeah. We do interviews, right? Like, imagine if... I'll take me. So the Big Lead did that feature about 2 months ago. Uh-huh. Imagine within that piece, and if you guys want to find it, go and check it out. Google Big Lead. It's pretty good. I think you guys might enjoy it. A lot of stuff maybe you don't know. But imagine within the interview if I was like, you know, listen, there's days on Wednesdays when me and Teague, we come in, we half-ass it. We're not interested. It's not the Super Bowl.
That's a good point.
It's not Radio Row.
Yeah.
Imagine how our audience would feel.
That's true.
Like how we'd be cheating our audience and our profession.
But I wonder, though, if you're an NBA fan and you go to regular season games, how much of... Like, are you going to watch these guys give it their all? Or are you just going to watch the guys? You know, that's the question. You know, because I don't go to very many NBA games, so I can't like explain what my emotion is when I do go to an NBA game. Like, am I going to? I mean, usually it's the Knicks because they're local to us here. But let's say I go to a Knicks game.
Well, now he's back with the Knicks.
I'm just talking about if I go to a game. Like, if I go to a Knicks game, what am I going there for?
Well, hopefully now wins.
Well, I'm not. Yeah, but even if
you mean back then,
like a couple of years ago,
you went to see Insanity. I know you went to see that.
But what was I actually?
Yeah, were you going there for the scene? Were you going to have a couple drinks
know.
And maybe hope the Knicks win, but not really care? You went to see Kobe one night. I know.
Yeah,
that was the Insanity game.
Maybe it was just to see the stars and see how XYZ played great tonight. Yeah, who cares if this other guy didn't play hard? You know what I mean? So. I guess it depends on
what... But you don't live and die with the Knicks. I guess those quotes would be more offensive to people who live and die with
their
teams.
That's right. I think that's
right. And that's really who I'm talking
to. That's right. I think that's really all who you're talking to. Because the casual fan is kind of like, okay, whatever. I see that any night anyway.
That's right. That's all I'm talking to. You're absolutely right. Not a big deal. Probably better left over a couple drinks or off the record.
Yeah.
But is what it is. Ack, how you doing today, bud? What's going on, Richie?
I'm bringing my A game.
Ack. Ack. So, give me a win total for the Brooklyn Nets. Estimated win total. What do you got? Give me a number.
59.
Give me an estimated win total for the Knicks.
45.
Sounds about right. That's actually higher than Vegas. Vegas, I believe, I think it would have played the Knicks as a future. I do think they'll take a little bit of a step back.
40?
I believe 42.5 Vegas has them at.
Wow, really?
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 42.5. Remember, there was a lot of overachievement a year ago.
Yeah.
Empty arenas. It kind of fit Thibodeau's. Yeah, they play grinded out every game.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's a little different. But they did get a little better, you know, with Fournier and Kemba Walker. D. Rose is back. Barrett should be better in year three. Randall's, you know, officially an all-star. We'll see. I'm pumped for the game. But you said, what was your number for the Nets again?
I went 59.
59.
Conference.
You think that's too high? What if, you know, what if Kevin Durant pulls a hamstring for 3 weeks? Now it's just Harden.
I'm going to assume KD is going to stay healthy this year.
Why? It's been 3 years since that's happened.
Yeah, but
been a while.
Yeah, but it's really like a year and a half since he's been fully healthy. I'm going to assume they're healthy, and I'm going to say that sounds about right.
About
maybe,
right?
Maybe 60.
All right. Let's get the update from Mac. We'll come back. Coming up. Boy, the Bills coming up short. Any issue with going forward? Any issue with the way the game played out? And how about Derrick Henry? I mean, Derrick Henry is just awesome to watch. Great win for the Titans. We'll talk about that coming up next after Rack's update right now. Here's Rich.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio Circus. Get your peanuts, eat your popcorn. Come on in. Here's the elephants. Get back to the Sixers coming up next hour. Right now, though, it's time for Defensive Player of the Week, brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly served the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and all their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. In Sunday's 34-24 win over the Broncos, Raiders defensive end Max Crosby sacked Teddy Bridgewater three times on the season. Crosby's got five sacks, and Las Vegas as a team has 16, which puts him number six in the NFL. I don't know if the association with the Raiders as being a terrific defensive front in terms of applying pressure and getting to the quarterback is necessarily a nationwide narrative, but the stats back it up. They are number six in sacks. There you go. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Back to the Sixers next hour. LeBron says, load management, take a hike. His coach had a little bit of a different take. We'll find out who's going to win that battle. Yeah, like it's going to actually be a battle. LeBron, you're going to sit down. Sure, coach, move out of my way. As I go to the scorer's table.
Whatever,
get out of here.
Whatever you say.
Sure, buddy. Sean King next hour as well, former NFL quarterback. He's got a good podcast, and He is a huge Jameis Winston fan who thought he might be in the MVP race. Where is Jameis at this point in the season? We know where we are after week six in the NFL. That was a great game last night, dude.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a football game.
I tell you.
Fun.
Derrick Henry, I mean, I know it's a quarterback league and all these other things, but it is amazing to watch that dude run. If you get just a little bit off of your angle to attack him and you have the wide receivers doing a great job blocking, you know, at the point of attack. How are you bringing him down? Like, you're going to leave a cornerback or even a safety to take him one-on-one coming down at a bad angle. It's, I mean, you're helpless. And he goes 76 yards for a touchdown. It changed the complexion of the game. All of a sudden, the Titans, who couldn't get anything done, you know, felt like they could hang with this team. And he goes on and has the day that he does, 140-plus yards and three touchdowns, which put the Bills in a position to kind of be fighting back, right, the whole time. Now, the Bills get down. They move the ball, you know, at will at times.
Well, the Titans' corners were just going down like flies.
I agreed.
Ugh.
But they move the ball up and down the field. They get back in scoring position. Feels like they're, look, all right, Josh Allen doing what Josh Allen does. Going to win the game for them. They get down, you know, to the tight, what was it, 2 yard line or so? It's now
long two.
It's fourth down, and they're gonna go for it. And it's like, what do you call? Put the ball in Josh Allen's hands.
Yeah,
I would have done the same thing.
Me too.
And you know, it's fourth down. The question was, why not go for the field goal and just go for the tie and you know, take your chances in overtime? The problem with doing that is that you haven't stopped Derrick Henry all day. And, you know, not that he's going to go 90 on you, but he could.
Well, he went 76 earlier in the night.
Yeah, exactly. So if I'm
by the way, the highest rate of speed all year.
That's nuts.
Did you see that?
Yes.
The net for those, and 20, by,
21
by means, pick it back. To almost 22. Next gen stat.
That's insane.
Nobody's hit a higher speed in the NFL the entire season.
That's insane.
Wow.
Dude, it's 240. So if I'm Sean McDermott, yeah. I do the same thing, right? I go for it. And I know everybody is talking about, well, the left tackle got his face crossed and all these other things. I think the center stepped on Josh Allen's foot.
Or yeah, at least, you texted
or
that
at
to
least
that, yeah.
He kicked his foot back, so he lost his footing, and he never got a chance to, you know, get behind his body and drive. So they just got unlucky. But if I'm also Sean McDermott, and I just said this to you in the break, how much of this is we're 4-1, we are one of the, not maybe not the best, but we're one of the best teams in the AFC. Tennessee is playing as hard. You know, we don't want to keep grinding and taking this fight that they're giving at us. And our next 4 weeks are all winnable games. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you're the Bills, you're like, you know what, let's just go for the win now.
Yeah, right? Yeah, you did say that. I didn't answer you. I purposely saved it for the year.
It's a short week.
Short
right?
week. I just don't know, you know, coaches.
I don't think they think that
way. They don't
way,
look at it in terms of 2 weeks. They look at it in what's in front of me in 2 minutes.
Yes, true.
You know, especially in the NFL. That's where you get hurt or burned.
That's what I was thinking as I'm watching this game. Are they next week? Are they off? No, they're Sunday.
They don't have a bye next week.
No, they don't have a bye. No, they do have a bye.
They do?
Yeah, they have a bye. So, yeah, they have a bye week. So maybe this – maybe I mean, who knows? So it's like, let's get a win going into the bye week, and then we'll come out. I don't know. So in my mind, the first thing I thought about was, like, who do they play next? And then Miami, Jaguars, Jets, Colts.
Oof.
All winnable games.
For
and there's
sure.
And there's a bye week in between.
Yep.
You know what? Let's just go get this win now instead of trying to get it into overtime. I don't know.
I mean, maybe. I just think it's all about culture and expectation. Like, you know what? First of all, if you're playing for the field goal, which you're obviously going to hit, and you go to overtime, I mean, in overtime, are you going to be that close to a touchdown again in overtime? The answer is probably not.
Good point.
I mean, so you want to weigh the odds there, number one. Number two, yes, you're trying to get the slightly more than 2 yards in real time, but you're also setting a template, creating a template of expectations, culture, et cetera, for maybe you've got to get 2 yards against the Ravens.
That's right.
Or against the Chiefs.
That's
or
right.
Against the Browns. Or against the Steelers if they continue to show a little life here. Or whomever, the Chargers in the AFC. You know what I mean? The Raiders. So I think that it was more about that. It's more about the DNA of the team. I thought that the Vrabel, and I thought it was going to come up empty here, and I felt badly for him. They drew up some really cool stuff, man.
I agreed.
On that punt.
Yeah, the fake punt.
Oh, that didn't work out. It was a forward pass. It wasn't even a good pass. It was a wobbly pass.
Yeah.
But that whole lane was open on the left side, if that's a good spiral.
Poor execution.
Yes.
But great idea.
Great idea. They also had another play where they drew a play up wide open down the field, and they missed it.
Yep.
I thought they had some real creative strategies last night. The fact that they won with all their corners going down was incredible, incredibly impressive. And, you know, listen, I'll tell you this. I thought when Josh Allen dived, by the way, I always say, some people say dove. I've always learned dived.
Yeah.
I'm of the mindset, even though I don't like the way it sounds, I know that it's grammatically correct.
Yeah.
So I should say dive.
I think it just sounds
odd.
I always say dove.
Everybody says dove, but it's not really right. I think you could technically say both.
Yeah.
Dived is what I learned when I was, you know, whatever, seventh grade, whatever it was. I was always a little bit of a grammar snob, a little bit. But when he dived for that first down, I don't know if I liked the spot.
No.
I thought
he
was short.
Yeah.
I thought they shorted him on the spot. Although, when they went for the fourth down, he was clearly short.
Yes.
There's no doubt he was short on that.
No.
But
when he went for the first down,
when he leapt in the air, I think that was a first down.
I agreed. It's where the ball is. It doesn't matter where your body, as long as your body hasn't touched out of bounds.
Yep.
Right? It's where the ball is when part of your body does touch out of bounds. I love that about Josh Allen because he's not that he's reckless, but he doesn't necessarily think about this might hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, I'm trying to win. I love that about him.
I'm a huge fan of Josh Allen. We talked about the decision by McDermott. Let's hear from the Bills coach on going for the touchdown, eschewing. You won't hear that one word too. Eschewing the field goal. Here he is.
Felt good about our chances. Had a chance to win the game right there, and we didn't get it done. Just looked like there was some penetration there off our left side, and they pinched down. So it looked like there was an opportunity, but you know, at the end of the day, I trust them, and I'll trust them again if we're in that situation again. So I'll take Josh Allen 10 times out of 10. So give them the credit. They made the play they had to make when the game was on the line.
Do you put much thought into picking a field goal there? Is that something that you seriously go back and forth on, and what led to not doing that?
Yeah, I mean, we're this far from winning the game. You know, I believe in my players. I believe in our quarterback. So I trust my guys.
I love it. It's a guy I want to play for. It's a guy you'd love to play for. I love McDermott. He's a really good coach.
Yeah,
love Sean McDermott.
I do as well. I like Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
You know what I like? You know why I like him?
Because he's intense, man.
Because he's willing to give the rock to his big boy.
And he's intense.
And he's intense, but he's intense. He's willing to give the ball to his big boy.
Wouldn't you?
Hell yeah.
Man, who the hell wouldn't
give it to him? Derrick Henry, we all know these stats. Henry. He led the league in rushing the last 2 years, 2,000 yards last season. Led the league in touchdowns the last couple of years, 33 combined over. He's leading the league now in rushing. He's got 10 touchdowns already. I think three games with three. Touchdowns already on the season, so he's likely to lead the league in rushing and in touchdowns again, but he's getting up there in touches, bro.
It's okay.
He's on pace for like 500 carries.
That's all right. You see him training, that little montage of him working out?
Yeah.
Some of the things he was doing?
Dude, he's a stud.
My God.
He's a stud, and I love him. We chatted with him after he won the Heisman.
He was here in studio, yep.
He's massive dude and
big fan. Happy, gentle giant.
That's exactly
right. He really is. He's just a happy, nice guy until he looks to destroy somebody.
And if he keeps this up for two more seasons, maybe three, he's in the Hall of Fame, right, already.
I don't think he needs three, Teak.
You're probably right.
I think he's had five straight 100-yard games, by the way.
That's right.
Five straight.
And if he leads the league again in rushing,
yeah.
It's three straight.
How many guys have done that?
Yeah, you're right.
Handful.
That's right. So even if he doesn't, I think he's in the Hall of Fame in my mind already. So, but I worry, like, is he going to break down? Because we say this all the time. Guys get 400 carries, 400 plus carries. It's like the breakdown's inevitable. It happens like the following season. It hasn't happened yet. Like how much luck are you pushing with Derrick Henry?
I think you ride your horse, man. He's got the new contract. He's one of the best players in the game. Feed him. Let him eat. Go. Let's go.
Yeah, I think so as well. And Vrabel talked about Derrick Henry, how amazing he is after this game.
It's huge, and we continue to jump on Derrick's back, and he's willing and able to carry us, and it's just it's something that you know that you have in your back pocket and front pocket. We pull it out and we use it.
Yeah. I mean, he's a trump card, man. He's just because eventually you're just going to stop wanting to tackle him. And especially if they do their job up front. Mm-hmm. Now, they end up losing Taylor Lewan. I don't know. Did they say what it was?
I did not get the official.
They were making it look like it was his neck. That's what they said on the broadcast. I felt like it was more like his back.
I thought it was a concussion. Now that I thought I saw that this morning.
Yeah, maybe.
When I circled back to it.
Because the way he fell,
yes.
It looked like his back was bothering him. But maybe it was how he hit his head. So regardless, they can't afford to lose him because he's a big part of what they do and what Derrick Henry needs. But I agree with you, BT. Ride him till he wears out because that's what he wants.
Yeah.
Right? Some running backs will, they'll say, yeah, I can do that, and they actually can't. I believe he can.
Hey, listen, there are some physical freaks, some anomalies, like Nolan Ryan was still throwing 98 miles an hour. By the way, when nobody threw 98 back in the day.
That's right.
When he was 42 years old.
That's right.
I mean, Derrick Henry is just a bigger man and a stronger person than seemingly everybody else at that position. Certainly at that position.
Yeah.
That's a given.
Yeah.
And I'm sure his strength is right up there with almost every linebacker
that's
in the
right.
league.
Yeah.
If not some D tackles.
You were right. It is concussion protocol for Taylor Lewan. It was just like concerning, they put him on a backboard.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
and they strapped his head down.
They did.
What's going on here?
Yeah, but that looked a little ominous, and I was just social media was starting to worry about him too. Yeah. And you never know. But yeah, it is a concussion. Titans are a tough team, man. Well coached.
Yep.
Good quarterback, not a great quarterback, but they've got a great running back. Julio's there. Brown's there. O line's not good. Not great. It's decent.
Yep. And now they have the second best record in the AFC.
They do. And now Bud Dupree's healthy. Yeah. They picked him up from Pittsburgh. People forget about that.
Yep.
A little thin in the secondary, though.
Yeah, I think you're right. And especially some of these injuries, it's going to catch up to them because the better quarterbacks, they know how to attack this secondary,
mm-hmm.
this team. And if they get behind, I know they did it against Seattle. They ran their way back into the game with Derrick Henry. Some of these games, they're going to have to throw their way back into it, and I don't know if they're equipped to do so.
Fair enough. Good stuff. You guys want to weigh in, whether it's about the game last night, whether it's about the topics from the star. We obviously hammered the Philadelphia 76ers situation. We're going to circle back to that, play some sound from Doc. What a wild scene out there with Philly. And LeBron says, listen, I'm basically playing as much as I want to play. And more directly, I don't feel good when I don't play a lot. That's interesting. We'll get to that coming up. Third hour, NBA season hits us tonight, and we're thrilled to have it back. But, man, there is no drama like the NBA drama. Boy, oh, boy, Philly. Wow. Teak and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.